Father, we come before your word acknowledging that your word is truth, that it is all truth, and that it's all of the truth. We acknowledge, Father, that your word is profitable for us, that it will cause us to be instructed in the ways of righteousness, that it'll cause us to be corrected and reproved where we have to be, that the men and women of God might be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. We know, Father, that in your word is life, because your word is your power. We thank you, Father, that you have given us of your word, pure and faithful, eternally settled in heaven, and that you have given us of your Holy Spirit to declare it, to proclaim it, to expound upon it, and to cause it to be ministered to our hearts. Now, I ask you, Father, to give us this morning of the portion of your word that is needful for us today. I ask you, Father, to minister to us today out of your word, that portion that our spirits are hungry for and needing today. I ask you, Father, to speak to us clearly, boldly, with power, and yet with understanding on the subjects that you desire to minister to us today. I ask you, Father, to cause your anointing, the anointing of your Holy Spirit, to live big on the inside of me, so that the word that is hidden inside me will come forth today in the way that you want it to come forth. And I ask you, Father, that your anointing would be upon the ears and the hearts of those who hear. And I ask, Father, for the circumcision of heart to come upon every person who's here in the auditorium today, that the word of God would find fertile soil, loose ground, deep, rich earth on which to take root, that it would grow there and grow up and spring forth into life and bear much fruit. Much fruit, much fruit. It's so important, Father, that we hear in days like today from God. We've heard so much from men. We've heard so much from even learned men and from wise men. But, Father, our desire is to hear from Almighty God. We want to know today, Father, what is thus saith the Lord. What do you have to say to us today? What is it that you have to declare to us today? What is it that we need to know today? Now, Father, we believe you to answer these prayers that we've just made. For you said that if we ask anything according to your will, that you'd hear us. That we should know, having assurance that you've heard, that we've already obtained the petitions that we've made of you. So now, our Father, we give you thanks for that which you're going to minister to us today. We receive it for that which it is, the pure and true and life-giving Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. Those of you who are regular in our services know bit about the way God has me to minister His Word, and all ministers of the gospel don't minister the way I do, but God has chosen a particular way for me to walk, and He's required me to walk in it. He has made it abundantly clear to me that if I will not walk in it, then I will be abundantly unhappy, and I dislike being unhappy, and consequently I have determined that I will walk in His way and that I'll do precisely and exactly what He wants, when He wants, how He wants. Last year, about this time of year, we were meeting over at the EMC building, and I'd just been ordained as your pastor maybe a month and a half or so. And I thought at that time we came to Mother's Day. And I thought, well, you know, a pastor really ought to have a Mother's Day sermon on Mother's Day. I mean, people are bringing their mothers from far and wide, and they expect a Mother's Day sermon, that someone ought to talk in the church that day, the pastor ought to bring a message concerning motherhood, and if he had room, he could throw in a little apple pie there and maybe a little Chevrolet, you know, to go along with it. And so it would be a nice, normal Mother's Day message. Well, you know, I couldn't get a Mother's Day message to save me. And I wanted one so bad because I thought a fellow ought to have one, you know. And I just couldn't get it. And I don't remember even now what God gave me that morning to minister, but it didn't have anything to do about mothers. Now, don't misunderstand me or God. I love mothers, and so does God. But that particular Mother's Day, the message was not concerning mothers. So I asked him earlier this way. I said, Father, it's Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday, and you really kind of messed me up last Mother's Day. how about this year? Could you give me something for mothers? And he normally does, he waits until my heart is just right, and then he ministers to me. Until my heart's right, it's like silence. So I didn't get anything, nothing at all. And finally, one evening this week, later on in the week, I said, Lord, I tell you what I'm going to do. If you want me to minister something concerning mothers, then I just trust you to give it to me. But I'm not going to bother you anymore about it. And if you have something else that you want to say on Sunday morning, you know, I would hate to give a message on mothers if there were three people here that needed delivered from drugs and would walk out of here bound. Wouldn't you? I would hate to deliver a nice syrupy message on mothers and have four people here that would go out of here this afternoon and have a highway accident going up Highway 5 and be killed and go to hell because they weren't born again. Wouldn't you? And I would hate to give a nice normal sermon on mothers and have somebody here that had an awful pain in their body and was unable to receive deliverance from it because God's man was not open to the Holy Spirit. So I made that arrangement with the Lord. And when I got up this morning, it's very unusual. And God doesn't work with everybody the same way he does with me, but I just share with you how he does with me, and perhaps that's of interest. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But as I woke up this morning, the Lord told me that I should minister today a message that I ministered earlier this week, along the same lines. So those of you that heard me minister this earlier this week, I'll not say who you were, it doesn't really matter, but you'll know who you were when you hear what God's doing this morning. But praise God, it has to do with mothers. Would you believe it? It has to do with mothers. And so all of you, and I'm so excited that I can do something for mothers today. And so all of you that are here that are mothers will not have to be disappointed and wonder, well, what kind of church are my kids going to? They don't even recognize Mother's Day. I didn't get a flower when I came in, and the preacher didn't even seem to know what day it was. And here it's Mother's Day. So today we're going to have a, God willing, we'll have a little something about mothers, all right? Now, I want to say just this and then read several passages of Scripture, and I don't know exactly how the Lord's going to move today. We'll just let him move the way he wants to. It seems very strange to me that so many people, God's people included, and I'm talking here about all ages of people now. I'm talking about you young people. Those of you that are children today, and when I say children, what I mean is still under the responsibility and the authority of your parents. Whatever your age is, if you are 2 years old, you'll be able to understand enough about the message today for it to be of benefit to you. If you're 5 years old, you're going to get something out of it. If you're 18 years old or 20 years old, if you are still under the responsibility and authority of your parents, then I want you to listen carefully today, because it'll be something in here for you. It'll also be something in here for you older kids, some of you 40 and 50 and 60-year-old kids, God willing. Have we any 60-year-old kids here today whose parents are living? Well, I guess you won't get anything then, will you? If we don't have any of those. It seems strange to me that on Mother's Day, so many children get all teary-eyed, mushy-hearted, and gooey-mouthed about their mothers bringing them a geranium. Do they still do that? Do they still bring geraniums? Bringing them a geranium on Mother's Day and then treating them something like would cohabit with a worm for the rest of the year. Doesn't that seem strange to you? Jesus said something about true love. He said true love, he didn't say it in these words, but you'll allow me some. He said if you truly love your mother or your father or anyone else, it will be reflected in your constant behavior. Now let me read you a verse out of the 14th chapter of the book of John. This has to do with our love for God. And I believe that we can say that it has to do for our love for those who have authority and responsibility over us. John chapter 14. I'm going to read one verse out of John 14, and then we're going to look at some other scriptures out of Paul's letters. Jesus was very clear to tell his disciples and those that followed after him how he would know if they loved him. And in the 21st verse of this 14th chapter, Jesus said these words, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Let me read that again. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Now, if you're following in your Bibles, turn to 1 John, that's little John, back towards the back of your Bible, right before Revelation. 1 John, the first epistle of John, the 5th chapter. John really seemed to understand this business of love and what true love really is. 1 John chapter 5, the 3rd verse, he said this. Read the 2nd and 3rd verse. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." His commandments are not grievous. How do we love God? We love God by keeping His commandments. Now, any man that says, "I love God with all of my heart." Now, all of you in here about 15 minutes ago repeated after me, "I love the Lord my God with all of my heart and with all of my soul and with all of my strength." But some of you weren't telling the truth. Some of you were not telling the truth. Because the truth is, if you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your strength, it would be more than lip service. You would obey His commandments, all of them. Now, what is it you've heard me say? You can either say amen or oh me, but it's true. God said, "This is how I know whether you really love me, is that you A, know my commandments, and B, that you do them. And if you don't do them, I know that your love is waxed cold." What is it the worldly man said, that wise old sage? "Your actions speak so loud that I cannot hear the words you're saying." Your life is so loud by the things that you do that I cannot tell the words of your mouth, I love you. Now, insofar as that is true with our relationship with God, it is also true with our relationship with our earthly mothers and fathers. Now, all of you mothers, say amen. My goodness. My goodness. I thought that that would really minister to you. Now, all of your mothers say amen.
Amen.
That's better. Can you imagine the child who comes to you and he says, Mommy, I really love you. You say to the child, have you cleaned up your room like I've asked you? Well, no. Well, are you going to do it? No, I'm not going to do it today. Has that child expressed love? He said love, you see, but has not expressed love. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, to the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 1. You know, God's Word has something to say about everything that's of importance. If you need guidance or direction about anything, you'll find it in the Word of God. You don't need to go beyond the Word of God. You'll find what you need there. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Paul says, children, obey your parents. Let me say something to you, parents and children. It's important. Every one of you, listen carefully to this, please. Listen very carefully. It'll save you a lot of grief. The world has told you, parents, let your child do as he wants because you don't want to inhibit or restrict him. If you do, you will warp and twist him. The world has said to the children, children, you don't really have any responsibility or obligation to your parents. Do your own thing. The Word of God says, children, obey your parents. God's Word is the truth. That which you have heard from the world is a lie. It is not true. It is false. And if you follow the world's ways, you will get the world's results. And what you will get is rebellion, misery, torment. The Word of God says that a foolish son is a reproach to his mother, but a righteous and wise son is a rejoicing to his parents. God's Word says, children, obey your parents. Now, why is that important? Why is it important that children be taught to be in obedience to their parents? Why is that important? I'm going to show you why it's important. Turn to the book of Mark. Some of you have never seen this before. Some of you have. But if you've not seen it before and you have young children, it's important that you see it today. Chapter 9 of the book of Mark. God's Word teaches us, people, that love requires restraint and it requires discipline on both ends of the relationship. If we do not teach our children to respect authority, to respect an elder, to respect those that have been put in responsible position over them, if we do not teach our children that primary lesson, we are inviting difficulty and tribulation into our families. Now, as parents, you listen carefully to this. This is important to you. Now, you can either receive it or not receive it, but it is the Word of God, all right? Now, I encourage you to receive it. I know parents that won't ever discipline their children. That's wrong. God's Word says don't to spare, not to spare the rod. That's another subject, though. Look here at chapter 9, verse 14. Now, I'm not going to read this whole passage. I'm going to read selected verses. You'll remember this story. Jesus had just come down off the Mount of Transfiguration. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Now here was a boy that was oppressed, taken by an evil spirit. "Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not." He went on to tell the Lord Jesus that on occasion, this spirit would grab a hold of his young son and would throw him down in the fire, trying to burn him to death. At other times, the spirit would take that boy's body and throw him into the water, trying to drown him. He would throw fits. Verse 20, "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground, wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, 'How long is it ago since this came unto him?' And he said, 'Of a child.'" Now, some of you moms and dads out there do not believe that the devil will harm a child. But I want you to know that in the days of Jesus Christ, that here was a boy whose father brought him to the Lord Jesus, and he said to the Lord, "My son has been tormented by this dumb spirit since he was a child." Your enemy does not care how precious your child is to you. He does not care how precious that child is to God. He is wicked in all of his ways, and if he can gain entrance, he will. I've seen Christian home after Christian home after Christian home ripped and rocked and torn because of children, lovely, precious children, oppressed by the enemy. And I have seen those same lovely, precious children, when the Word of God has gone forth to their parents, some of them are seated right in this auditorium tonight, today, set completely free. And I've seen that home come to peace. I've seen that home come to harmony. I've seen the torment come out of that home because the parents understood what was happening and began to use the Word of God in the home rather than the words of the world. I'm going to tell you what can happen to children left to their own devices without discipline and without parents exercising proper authority. And that is precisely this. If you raise your child with the conviction that anything he does is all right, with the conviction that he is in charge of his destiny, that he is responsible for what he does, and that whatever he does is up to him, when the devil jumps up on his shoulder and begins to whisper to him, "Johnny, you don't have to do that. Don't bother doing what she said. It's okay." What do you suppose he's going to do? He's going to listen to that voice rather than to yours. And when it comes time for you to get your child joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ of Nazareth says to your child, deny yourself and follow after me. Take up your cross and follow me. The child is going to say, get thee behind me, Jesus Christ. I'm not taking anybody's cross up. I'm not denying myself for you or anybody else. I'm doing my own thing. And you have sent your child on a straight path to that door. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Word of God said, do not spare the rod on your child. He that corrects his child loveth him and will save his soul from hell. Now, what did he mean? He that loves his child will bring him under authority, teach him how to recognize authority, and subsequently save his soul from hell. I can tell you this from my own personal experience. That if I had not had a father and a mother who required me to be in obedience, not because I wanted to be, but required me to be in obedience, required me to be in submission to them, there'd be no way that I ever could have yielded my heart to Jesus. I could never have come to a place of submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that would be totally opposite everything that I would have learned. Many of God's people, because they do not know any better, are leading their children down a path where it will be very difficult for them to know and to love and to serve Jesus. So much for the parents. For the children, the Word of God says, obey your mother and father. He did not say obey them because everything they do is right. He said simply, obey them, for this is right. He said, honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with thee and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. Children, God's word says to you that it will go well with you if you will honor your mother and father. God's word says that it will be well in your life if you will honor your mother and father. What does it mean to honor them? It means to love them. It means to revere them. It means to respect them. And it means to obey them and to listen to them in what they instruct you to do. Now that's good advice, children and young people, out of the Word of God. Now, when I was 15 years old, my father said these words to me. I was probably no different than most of the rest of you 15-year-olds, and I didn't think my father knew anything. Least of all, did he know anything about what concerned me. My dad said to me one day, son, you don't think I know very much, do you? He said, when you are 20, you will be amazed at how much I learned in 5 years. And do you know it was true? And he wasn't even going to school. But in 5 years' time, he learned so much. And I love him. Parents, I want you to know this, parents that have young children. I love my father so much because of his discipline. Because of his discipline. As a teenage boy, my father and I went to the basement stairs. When I was old enough and big enough to give him a fight, and strong enough. But my father had taught me obedience. And he had taught me subjection and submission to authority. God's way is a way of submission and subjection and being yielded to authority. And if we'll not teach our children that way, and children, if you will not learn that, life will not be a pleasant experience for you. Children, obey your parents. Children, love your mothers. And if I could paraphrase what Jesus said in John 14:11, where he was talking about love and obedience to God, if I could just lift that out and use that for what we're talking about today, I would say this. He that loveth his mother knoweth her rules and obeyeth them. He that loveth his mother knoweth what she expects, and willingly obeyeth those things. Now, what about those of us whose mothers are older, who are not living under the authority of our mother? The Word of God says that when a man takes a wife, that he leaves his mother and his father. And he cleaves unto his wife, and they become one flesh. Just as wrong as it is for a young man to be disobedient to his mother and father while he is in their charge, it is just as wrong for the man who is married to be in submission to his mother and father while he has a wife. The Word of God says that when a man takes a wife, that he shall leave his mother and not stop loving her, but leave her. Come out from under his father and his mother's authority. Come out from under their responsibility. Come out from under that relationship. The world would say out from under the apron strings, and some people need to hear that message too. I know some 40-year-old people that need to come out from under the apron strings and cleave to their wives and cleave to their husbands and become one and establish that new authority pattern. You wives, your mother is no longer your authority. Your husband is. You husbands, your wife, your mother is no longer your authority, but the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's what the Word of God says. But does that mean that you stop loving your mother? No. Those of you who are mothers and fathers now have no doubt a deeper love for your mother than you ever felt before, because you know what it's all about. You know what motherhood is and what fatherhood is. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy mind and soul and strength, and love one another as thyself. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you today that you have given us earthly mothers. You said in the Word, Father, that we are all dependent one upon another, that the woman is dependent upon the man, that the man is dependent upon the woman, that without the woman, without the mother, none of us would have life or existence. Lord God, we give you thanks today for earthly mothers. We thank you today, Father, that you have caused your love to flow through mothers to us. That the first love we knew when we came into this world was the love of a mother. The first warmth we ever felt was the warmth of a mother's love. The first voice we ever heard was the soothing, calming voice of a loving mother. We thank you, Father, today for our mothers. We thank you for the sacrifices that they have made to give us birth, to give us life, to lead us even in the things of God. But most of all, Father, we want to thank you for your love, which you have caused to dwell in godly mothers, that have disciplined us according to the Word of God, have taught us from our youth of the things of God, have shared with us the truths out of your Word, and have led us to know you personally. For bless God, that's the most important thing that ever happened to any of us. And having used our mothers to bring us into the kingdom of God, Father, many of us, we just can't thank you enough for that. And now, Father, I ask you to take this truth, that true love reflects itself in submission and obedience. I ask you to take that truth and minister it deep down in the hearts of each of those of us who are here tonight and today who are children under the authority of earthly fathers and mothers. And Lord, I ask you to bless each mother who's here today with a supernatural outpouring of wisdom, the wisdom of God, to know how and when to use discipline, how and when to minister your love, how and when to lay down the rules and the regulations that would guide the upbringing of these children that you have entrusted unto them. I ask you for wisdom, Father. For truly, our Father, as we live in today's world, and as we're battered with philosophies that are in opposition to your own and your own word, we need godly wisdom to know how to raise our children. We need godly wisdom to know what to say. We need godly wisdom to know how tight to draw the rope and when to leave it slack. Father, I believe you to give that kind of wisdom to whomsoever is here this morning with an open heart and is praying this prayer with me to receive it. We thank you, our Father, that in the realm of the Spirit, that you are able to be to us both Father and Mother. Oh, glory to God. That you are able to fill and to satisfy every need that we have, every single one. That in the people of God there be no lack. And when we confess, our Father, that the Lord our God is our shepherd and we shall not want, our Father, for any good thing.